A61. Number 27B.
But it's also, on the other side, very illuminating, or at least making the whole tone rounder and warmer and bigger. If one has a whole list, I think I have here about 20 or 30 different renderings of truth-destroying error. I read you a few just to hear the tone. She says, truth tolerates no error. You see, tolerates no error, saying, well, truth destroys error. Truth doesn't want to do, doesn't want to have to do anything with error. Truth tolerates no error. Truth dispels error. Truth decapitates error. Truth deprives us of error. Truth drives out error. Truth annihilates error. Truth removes error. Truth subdues error. Truth obliterates error. Truth bruises the head of error. Truth consumes error. Truth swallows up error. Truth overcomes error. Truth overthrows error. Truth conquers error. Truth sweeps away error. Truth wipes away out error. Truth removes error. Truth quenches error. Truth casts out error. Truth drives out error. Truth pierces the error. The error yields and the error disappears and goes out under the blaze of truth, and therefore truth silences the error. Yeah? Did you hear the tone? Huh? Don't be shy to make sometimes these lists, you know, and just go over them. Not that you have to remember them, but just to see the terrific impact that you get when you have, I don't know how many there, I read you down, there are 20, 30 different variations of truth destroying error. And it gives you a much wider sense, a much rounder sense of a term.
There's such a sense of power here that it sort of makes me feel that although almost as though truth was sharing the power of mind.
Yes.
Can you help to clarify that?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I can. Oh, yeah, sure.
I haven't stumped you yet.
Yeah. This is, as I say, when you study the synonymous term, you will feel that there is a great a parentage, a great relationship, especially between mind and truth, much more than truth and spirit or truth and soul or truth and life. There's a great relationship. They always somehow work together. Mind says, I'm power. I'm the power. But truth says, I'm the potency. Truth says, I'm the potency. Huh? It says, I am that one that never lets go until that power of mind has fulfilled its job. See? That's the job of truth. Can you see? That's very typical for truth and mind. Huh? For the six synonymous terms and the first synonymous term. That truth is always that which shows that the cause of mind has an effect and shows the effect. Mind says, I am power, but truth says, all right, I use that power with all potency. I use it up to that point where there is no more an opposing power. I utilize the power of mind to the point where every error is destroyed. Can you see? It's quite a difference, huh? Therefore, did we have that already? No, as the next one, it would come anyway. As the next one, you have truth is the remedy. Mind is the medicine. She never says that mind is the remedy. And she never says that truth is the medicine. And yet, in a way, we feel, well, what's the difference? Well, there's a terrific difference. Huh? Think if somebody goes to a doctor and some kind of a sickness and so on, and let's say the doctor says, all right, oh yes, you are sick, oh that's all right, you know, I have a drawer here, in that drawer I have about 20,000 different medicines, huh? And here you have one, huh? It's a medicine. It may kill him off, huh? May kill him right off. Huh? Why? He has given him a medicine. He hasn't given him a remedy. A medicine is not yet a remedy. What is the difference? The difference is that a medicine is then a remedy when it is the right medicine. Can you see? Only when it takes out the right one out of those 20,000, huh, then it may help him. Then it is a remedy. So medicine does not mean yet remedy. That's what you have in mind and truth. You will always see that mind is the medicine. You heal through mind, through. You use as a medicine, as a means, you use mind. You don't use matter medicine, a material thing, or hypnosis, or electricity, or manipulation, or anything. You use mind. But you have to use it as truth, or it doesn't heal. If you use it not adapted to the situation, it is not a remedy. Yeah? Are you quite aware of that, huh? So we can see mind alone doesn't heal, huh? Truth alone doesn't heal. But mind and truth do heal together. Hmm? Therefore, those many, many references that we have, oh, let me take them as we get along. I just read a few to you because it's no use to look up them. For instance, he says, I have demonstrated through mind the effects of truth on the health of men. I could give you the reference for you afterwards. It's no use that we look it up. It takes too much time. 126:24. You see, this is very typical. I have demonstrated through what? Through mind, through the medicine of mind. What have I demonstrated? The effects of truth on the health of men. So, truth actually is then the healing process, the healing going on. Mind heals. Mind is a healing medicine. But the actual healing taking place is in truth, because it must be the right ideas that have to be applied. We can't just in truth take any old truth. It must be that truth which is adapted to the situation. Or she says, 145:11, she says, mind through truth subdues human belief in disease. Mind through truth subdues. Can you see? Mind needs the truth about the belief. The specific truth, the real truth that is behind the belief. So this, see that she doesn't just say mind subdues the belief in disease. She could say that. See, she could, but then she wouldn't explain the process. So very often she does not explain the process and just says mind heals, or there is mind healing. Huh? But when she is interested in the question that the student would ask, but how does that healing process go on? Huh? Is it actually so that mind heals, and that I just have to go to mind and say mind heals, and see that mind is the medicine and nothing else but that? Then she would say, no, you know, in that mind you have to know the specific truth about the case. not the wrong truth, if I may put it that way. Huh? Do you know what we have been seeing when we were considering that there is a truth and a scientific truth? Huh? A truth is only then really a scientific truth when it is seen in its context. Therefore, also a specific truth is not the healing of a case until it is that specific truth which applies to the healing. If I have 6 times 6 is 36, I have a truth, and that doesn't do a thing if I have to calculate what is 5 times 5. It doesn't do a thing to it. Doesn't it? Isn't that what we were perhaps not so much conscious of? That we just did take any old truth that came into our mind and said, I'm going to heal that case with any old truth. Hmm? That's not. Huh? So that balance of mind and truth must be constantly there. Hmm? Or just to show you that I think there are a dozen, 2 dozen of these statements in the textbook. She speaks, for instance, this is a nice one, 170:14. 170:14, she says, she speaks about that the demands of truth reach the body through mind. Here's a wonderful sense, huh? That the demands of truth, the truth, reach the body how? Not through the truth, but through the mind. Through mind, huh? Because mind is the medicine. Mind are ideas. Huh? Ideas resolve illusions. That's what has to happen. From where does a disease arise? She says, mortal mind is the cause of every disease. Mortal mind is really the cause. Hmm? Mortal mind has to be set aright. How can we set mortal mind aright? Through the divine mind. All right, through the divine mind. But we have not yet said which belief in mortal mind was at work in order to bring about a certain disease or a certain inharmonious situation. We only said mortal mind is it, but we haven't yet investigated which specific belief, which specific error of mortal mind. Let's put like that. Which specific erroneous belief of mortal mind has brought about a certain definite disease. Therefore you can see that disease has a reason not only through mortal mind, but through a specific error that was entertained in mortal mind. Mind and truth, huh? In the negative. Can you see? Mind and truth. The counterfeit of mind and the counterfeit of truth. Therefore, the healing must be done that way, too. Therefore, we must see that the divine mind must entertain the right truth. And only then is truth the remedy. It will always be through mind that we heal. But the truth will always be different. Yeah? See now.
It's interesting, too, that there's that strong action power word, as she says, the demands of truth.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Demands.
It's a demand. Yeah. Yeah. Let me see. You also have it in the positive sense, this blending of mind and truth. For instance, she says, mind manifests all that exists in the infinitude of truth, not of mind. Huh? Mind manifests everything that exists in the infinitude of truth. See, it's always mind that manifests, but the forms of truth are always different. Hmm? So it manifests all that is in the infinitude of truth. Yeah. Well, there are dozens and dozens of them that always Well, she speaks about the forces of mind whose potency is in truth. Because you asked me about the difference between power and potency. So actually, the power of mind only becomes really potent, huh, when it is the truth power, when the true power is applied to the situation. Mm-hmm. That was about this. So we come further to the remedy, which we had taken, that the remedy of truth, that truth is the universal panacea, again the remedy, that truth is an alterative, it heals, that truth is changing the universe, and so on. She speaks even of something of the troublesome truth. Of troublesome truth, she speaks even. So truth can be very troublesome. Yeah. When is truth troublesome? Truth should always establish the right, huh? Why should be truth troublesome? Because it is resisted, huh? Whenever truth...
When you don't want it around.
You see? Yeah. Yeah. So, it's like the Christ says, I wound to heal. I wound to heal. I have the troublesome truth because I want to heal, because I want to save, because I want to help you. But if it's resisted because of that, those demands of truth and the potency of truth, if it's resisted, it acts first as a very troublesome truth. Yeah. And so we feel the wounds of truth. The truth wounds in order to heal. It doesn't need to wound, but if resisted, it does. So again, we come back to that sense that actually there is only one thing going on. Truth, no matter if it saves or if it wounds, it's still the same truth. It's only seen on a different level. If it wounds, it's seen on the level of mortal mind. If it heals, it's seen on the level of Christian Science. But it's still the same truth. So can you hear that dimensional sense again, how truth, the identity of truth, changes itself as phenomena according to the level on which it appears? Hmm? Yes? Don't we feel that perhaps during this week when we have touched on the levels without really taking the levels of the chart, how important it is that our consciousness get acquainted with thinking in dimensions, in a dimensional sense. That we don't think always on one and the same level. Always think, well, truth heals, well then it cannot bring suffering, then truth cannot be troublesome. Huh? But that we have that flexibility within us that can at once just go through every level and say, what is truth? The identity of truth. The identity of truth is on a higher level that it brings out all the wonderful infinitude of truth. But the same truth on a lower level just begins to heal. And on a further lower level it is a troublesome truth. In one go, we should hear vertically all those possibilities of truth, and not feel that they are contradictory, but feel that they are complementary, that they are have the same identity, but that being is dimensional. It's a great point now in every science that we have a dimensional sense, against. You know what the counterfeit is called, the dimensional sense versus reductionalism? Reductionalism, that's the term they have coined about 7 or 10 years ago in the various sciences. They have coined a term that science must be regarded always from a dimensional sense and not from a reductional sense. Reductionalism, is that what we have been doing mostly in Christian Science, that we only had one level and therefore measured everything according to the phenomena of that one level? An identity could only be one, could only have one phenomena, one kind of phenomena. Whereas dimensionalism says an identity can have many, many different phenomena and still remain that identity. Then the contradictions in the textbook just begin to disappear. They just go away. We can't be cross with thinkers that read the textbook and say the textbook is contradictory. If a thinker trained in the old classical sense of science and logic, we must accept that for him the textbook is paradoxical. We have to accept that. Because it says, if Mrs. Eddy says, truth knows no sickness, and a page later says that truth heals sickness, then he has the right to say, this is a contradiction. And according to the classical logic, this is a contradiction. For the new scientist who would be trained in dimensionalism and who would be able to perceive naturally first the levels that are under consideration in the textbook, for such a scientist it will no more be contradictory. No more. With a new concept of science. Therefore, can you see that we have to get out of the old concept of science? Also, in the Dolly teaching, we must see that at the time that John Dolly taught, dimensionalism was unknown in the sciences. And therefore, the best definition that he used from Oxford Dictionary or from Webster were the highest that was known at that time. And that was mostly only system. That science has to do with laws embodied in the system. Today, this is no more enough. This is no more enough. It would not fit anymore into the analysis of the textbook. We would have to get a dimensional definition of science, a definition of science that takes in the dimensional sense, or else it would be too narrow. So we must see that we go with the world and with the development and not hold back. Yes? Where did I get off this time? We were on remedy. on remedy and with mind and truth. And now we have as a last one, dominion. The truth has dominion. Again, we could say, well, this is not an idea of truth. Truth itself does not know anything about dominion, because truth has no opposite. Truth does not know any opposite, so it doesn't need to have dominion. Dominion, therefore, is that how truth appears as a Christ, that it has dominion over an opposite. Though in the sixth day of creation, actually, we have that sense that man has given dominion over the whole earth, and that earth was naturally not an opposite, because the first day, the first record of creation has no error in itself. So that dominion, which is given in the sixth day of creation, is a different kind of dominion as when Mrs. Eddy calls that truth has dominion over error. In the sixth day, man has given dominion not over an error, because error hasn't appeared in the first record of creation. And it gives a positive sense of dominion. And it's that sense which has puzzled us in the German-speaking language quite a bit. We could never quite figure out Mrs. Eddy's statement, where she said, the admission to oneself that man is God's own image and likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. To have dominion, it was translated, to have dominion over the idea. To master the infinite idea. To have dominion over the infinite idea. We never could really figure out why man should have dominion over the ideas. Now, in English, how would you explain that? That man, how is it? The admission to oneself that man is God's own idea sets man free to master the infinite idea. What do you feel is, what does it mean in English, that man is set free to master the idea, is now mastery over the idea? Yeah.
Become proficient.
Proficient, huh? Yeah.
A master sometimes can make use of.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even more than that, I stated a master of something is someone who is totally one with something.
Yeah. Well, so can you see, that's the true sense of dominion. That in German it was not rightly translated, and we never could make head or tail of it, how it would read. But it is like we say, well, he masters his profession. He masters the English language. That does not mean he has dominion over, as if the English language would be at his would be subject to him. But he masters, I think what you said, is proficient in it. Yeah. So truth in that positive sense, is that which has that proficiency that really can use the utilization of truth, can use the idea to its highest degree, in an ideal degree, to its excellency. Without that, the ideas don't obey the master, don't obey men. They don't obey men. They only obey principle. But we master it, yes, that we have a proficiency in using them. Yes?
Furthering that, you can equate it with mastery of a musical instrument, for example. Mastery of a profession.
Yeah.